We will go on without them. With them or without them. Bhagavatam class goes on. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Saram Shaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, who is the translator and the author, and unto Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of God, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we had the verse on the board. The computer in the closet must have fallen asleep. You just need to hit the escape key. Oscar, what did you touch over there? There you go. Okay. Kind of makes you miss the old-fashioned days of the chalkboard. But actually, what's really happening is that because we're so dull, all of this had to be written down. In previous ages, everybody was able to memorize the entire Bhagavatam just by hearing it one time. That's called Shruti Dhar. And that's real human life. But in Kali Yuga, as we know, day by day, everything goes down. And one of the main things that goes down is memory. Just completely disappears. So we're going to be continue reading from the 8th canto, chapter 22. We're going to start with text 15, which has no purport, and then we'll go on to text 16. So I'm going to read 15 by myself. Satatrahasina mudiksha satpatim harim sunanda janagar upasitam vetya bhumau shirasa mahamanan nanama murdna pulakashu viklavaha. Click down to the translation. Again. Till you get to the translation. Okay. When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. So 16. Sri Paraduvacha. Toyaiva dattam padamaindra murjitam ritang tadeva jatatayava shobhanam. He's supposed to click down to the next verse, 16. Oh, you're on the wrong. How did you guys mess it up? Yes. Who knows a little bit about computers? I can tell you how to do it in a second. What you need to do is hold out. There's a function key on the bottom row towards the left. Hold that down and hit the F2 key simultaneously. You'll get a query box. Yes. Now, you see it says A2215. Just click on OK. Okay, now you're back at 15. Now just click in the scroll bar until you get down to 16. Yeah, just keep clicking in the scroll bar, yeah, till you get down to 16. There you go. That's the Sanskrit. Now you go. Now just click on the little arrow on the bottom on the right. Just go one line at a time till you get the whole thing on the verse. No, on the other one. The other arrow, right, yeah. Just click one at a time till you get the whole verse on the board. There you go. Sri Paradovacha. Taya eva dattang padamahendra murjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito yanugraho. Virvangshito yachtriya atma mohanat. Triparado vacha. Twaya eva dattang padamahendram urjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito yanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohanat. Triparado vacha. Twaya eva dattang padamahendram urjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito yanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohanat. Please chant. Sri Parada Upacha. Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohana. Sri Parada uvacha. Twaya eva dattang padamahendram urjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohanat. Sri Parada uvacha. Twaya eva dattang padamahendram urjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohanan. Vaishnavis. Sri Parada uvacha. Twaya eva dattang padamahendram urjitam. Ritang tadeva yatatayava shobhanam. Manye mahanasya krito hyanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohanat. Sri Parada uvacha. Sakrito yanugraho. Vibhangshito yachtriya atma mohana. Sri Parada uvacha. Swayaya Vadatang Paramahindram Urjitam Ritang Tadeva Yatataya Vashovanam Manye Mahana Sikrito Yanugraho Vibram Shito Yat Shriya Atma Mohana. Okay, synonyms, scroll down. Okay. Yeah, all right, stop right there for now. But you have to follow along because they don't all fit on the screen at one time. Sri Parado Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Twaya, by your lordship, Eva, indeed, Dattam, which had been given, Padam, this position, Ayindram of the King of Heaven. Urjitam, very, very great. Hritam has been taken away. Tat, that. Eva, indeed. Adya, today. Tata, as. Eva, indeed. Shobhanam, beautiful. Manye, I consider. Mahan, very great. Asya, of him, Bali Maharaj. Kritaha, has been done by you. He, indeed. Anugraha, mercy. Virangshitaha, being bereft of. Yet, because. Shriyaha, from that opulence. Atma Mohanat, which was covering the process of self-realization. So Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Scroll down one line at a time. Okay, stop there. Prahlad Maharaj said, my lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king. And now, today, it is you taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Now scroll back up, we're going to have you repeat. Haribol, go to the top arrow on the right, scroll back up. Yes, keep clicking. All right, stop there. Please repeat. Prahlad Maharaj said, my Lord, it is your lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king. And now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. So now scroll down the purport as I read. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As it is said, Yasyaham Anugranami Harishye Taddanam Shanai. This is from the 10th canto, chapter 88, text 8. It's actually spoken by Lord Krishna. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence causes one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotee by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes takes away his material possessions. Yasya hamanukranami harishe taddanam shanai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulitam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vatam Tang Sajivam Chadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sayutam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this one simple point is so difficult for the conditioned soul to get, that nothing belongs to us. It is extremely clearly evident, isn't it? Born into this world with nothing, can't take anything when you leave. But in between, we think we can get and acquire more and more and more, which is part of the demoniac tendency that Krishna describes clearly in the 16th chapter. So much wealth do I have today, and it will increase in the future more and more. See? This is mine. Mine. He is my enemy, and I will kill him. And all my other enemies will be killed. And then the punchline, Ishwaraham Ahang Bogi, Siddhoham Balavang Sukhi. Ishwara, I am the controller of everything that I see. Aham Bogi, I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I am perfect. Balavan, I'm strong. Sukhi, and I'm happy because of all of the above. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm like that. So, but this is not real happiness. It's based on a false premise, so it doesn't fly very long, very far. Because as pointed out in today's purport, as Prahlad is pointing out in his statement to Lord Vamanadeva, nothing belongs to us. So no matter how much you acquire, up to the entire universe, which is what Bali Maharaj did, conquered the entire universe, but it was a temporary situation, even more temporary than usual, because demigods, mother of demigods, Aditi, prayed, performed the Payavrata, very perfectly, and therefore the Lord came to satisfy her, and what she wanted was her sons, the demigods, to get their position back. So it doesn't belong to them either. But they're given a post of management, just like for 4 years someone is given a post of President of the United States. So if after the end of 4 years he doesn't want to leave the White House, even though he's been voted out and he's thinking that the country belongs to him, crazy fellow, right? Immediately you want to put him in an insane asylum. But we all do the same thing. We go home to some particular house or apartment and we think it's mine. It's not yours. It's not yours. It belongs to Krishna. This very body that we think to be ourselves is not ours either. It belongs to Krishna. So this point is being driven home over and over again. Everything belongs to Krishna and therefore, logically, should be used for Krishna's satisfaction. Just like, again, if you have a big estate, some of you may have, I don't know you all so well, but let's say you have a big estate here in LA, and if you leave and you allow some relative friend to go in there and, you know, use the place, so when you come back, if they ignore you, don't want to go, it's crazy. Or if you're there and they go into the kitchen and they make up a big feast and they don't even bother to offer you some, how would you feel? You probably want to throw them out. So Krishna feels the same way. Everything belongs to him. And we go into our kitchen and we cook up a big feast and we don't want to offer it to him. Or we do it grudgingly. It's Krishna's. It belongs to him. It should be offered to him. Very logical. The Bhagavatam makes very, very logical presentation. Even a 10th or 8th grader should be able to understand if they just hear from the right source. Very clear. So this other point that Prahlad is making, and that Prabhupada stresses in the purport, is that if you're put in a position of opulence, it becomes a source of intoxication. We become intoxicated again by this idea that it belongs to me, and therefore I am somehow bigger, better, greater than everybody else. No, again, we've been put in a temporary position by the grace of providence, by karma, good karma from previous lifetimes. But we know going in that it's not going to last. But still we allow ourselves to become intoxicated. I am the manager. I am the owner. I am the proprietor. I, me and mine. And that's him a whole, you know, ahang mamati. This thinking in terms of I and mine is an illusion. Yes, I exist, but not independently. Not independently. I exist as part of, as everybody can see, an insignificant part of this particular planet. At every single moment, somebody or many persons are dying. And we're all sitting here, we don't care because we don't know them. But if somebody I know becomes even sick, oh, it's a big deal, and I'm tearing my hair out, and I'm praying to the Lord, please cure them. What to speak of if I become sick? Oh, my God. All of you should pray for me. Drop everything that you're doing right now and pray for me. Pray the Christian that I get sick and I'm well tomorrow. You see? So I and mine, if it's myself, hey, most important thing, everybody else should take notice. And if it's mine, again, you should take notice. But everybody else, yeah. Yes, yes, I send out general well wishes to the universe, but still, I am the center here. So get that through your head. Not you, you're not the center, I am the center. And I'll allow you to be part of my retinue for some time if you behave yourself. So this is false. And we have to disabuse ourselves of this misconception. And it takes time. We know. Many of us here have been chanting Hare Krishna, hearing this philosophy for decades, and still we have not come to that point of letting go of this misconception. Still, there's a particular card, and I think it was mine, and if you even breathe on it, you're going to have me on your neck. You see? It's my car. No, the proper attitude is, this is Krishna's car. Krishna's allowed me to use it in his service, and yes, I should take care of it properly. Don't be neglectful. Not that things that belong to me, I polish all day long. And what if it's Krishna's? I don't care. I don't maintain it. It runs out of oil and its engine seizes up. And, oh, well, I just forgot. Sorry. No. It's Krishna's property. All of it. The one that you think is yours and the one that you think belongs to the temple is all Krishna's property and should be maintained in that mood. I'm sure the Sankirtan devotees especially can tell so many horror stories. I've personally experienced devotees have gotten cars to maintain on behalf of Krishna, and they don't maintain it because they think, you know, it's Krishna's property. I don't have to worry about it. Krishna's God after all. Let him change the oil. No. Krishna's giving us an opportunity for service to show that we care. Show that we care. So one has the impression, and it's pointed out in the purport, that he's the owner and master of everything that he surveys. Although, actually, this is not the fact. So this simple fact, if we don't leave with anything else today, we should leave meditating on this. That I'm thinking that everything that Krishna has given me to maintain for some time belongs to me. I'm thinking that this body is me and it's mine. No, even the very body that we're claiming does not belong to us. And a day will come when it's taken away from us. Or, more accurately, when we are taken away from it. Because the body stays there, generally speaking. It's lying in the home or lying in a hospital bed. And you get taken out of the body. And the body is still there. And as soon as you're taken out of the body, all the friends and relatives and romantic interests, people that were really interested in you, not interested anymore. See? They were interacting with that body all along as it was very important. I love you, meaning I love the body. But as soon as the life force, the soul is gone, burn it, bury it, immediately get rid of it, they don't care anymore. That body. You see? This is the very, very simple fact that we experience on a regular basis, but still we can't get it. Not to insult anybody. If you've already gotten it, fine. But most of us, we still don't get it. We deal with ourselves as if we're this body. We deal with other people as if they're their bodies. neglecting the very simple fact that we are going to be separated from this body very soon. In Kali Yuga, very soon. 100 years max. Somebody's 80-something, like my mother's 84. It's like, oh, grand old person. 84 is not very much. Not very much, but still. Because of Kali Yuga, we've been conditioned to think that we're human beings, and human beings that live to be 100 years are like, oh, my God. Such a grand old woman or man. No, that's nothing. In previous ages, we know. Previous age, Dwapara Yuga, they lived up to 1,000 years. Year, age before that, Treta Yuga, up to 100,000 years. Up to 10,000 years. And then the age before that, Satya Yuga, 100,000 years. But even 100,000 years is nothing compared to the life of Lord Brahma, who lives for trillions of years. And even his lifetime is nothing compared to eternal time. So this is what we should be developing, an urge to. I think I've told this maybe several times, that when I was a young man in New York, there was a very famous band, Chick Corea, and Return to Forever. That was the name of his band. Return to Forever. And that phrase really clicked with me. And so I was familiar with them before I met the devotees. So when I started reading Prabhupada's books, immediately it made sense. Yes, we're meant to return to forever. That's where we came from. That's our nature. And that's why we're not happy here. No matter what position we have or how much possessions we have, we never feel satisfied because we're in a foreign atmosphere. We don't belong here. And we know there's danger at every step. So we can't feel comfortable. We can't feel happy here. We may fool ourselves sometimes, but then we are rudely awakened so often. Especially here living in LA, every moment there is a siren going by and you immediately have to figure out, police car, ambulance, fire truck, what is it? All three of them are bad. If it's police, something bad's happening. If it's an ambulance, somebody's having a heart attack. If it's a fire truck, something's burning down. Always some calamity in this material world. And still, we're trying to make it our home. We're trying to be comfortable here. So the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada are saying, wake up! Bam, wake up! You can't be happy here. You can't be happy here. And that's why we go out. We take this message to the streets. I was going to project this for you, but I'll just show. So last night I was out with the Harinam party, trying to distribute some books, and I met this gentleman. His name is Bipu. Looks like a street guy with his little tom-tom and this and that, but he's actually a college professor. He's Indian. And so he didn't take the book. Why? Because he has all of Prabhupada's books. His father was a life member in India. Met Prabhupada. Actually, interacted with Prabhupada quite a bit. He was telling me about his dad. So his dad left him all of Prabhupada's books. Because as a life member, he got the Bhagavatam, CC, everything. As it came out, the life members were giving them. He's coming on Sunday. I'm very interested to really hear his entire story. Interesting character. But so he didn't take. And then met these two nice young people from visiting from London. Not a couple, they're brother and sister, actually. He's a mathematician, so immediately I used the Sankirtan line and asked him, are you a good one? So he laughed and he took the book. Very interesting couple. Not couple, like I said, brother and sister. Nice conversation we had with them. They took Bhagavad Gita. And so it's not that all scientifically trained people are necessarily opposed to the message of the Gita. He was very interested. And I hope while he's here he can find a time to come and visit. And then this is a couple. And they were down from Modesto, California, visiting LA. They took a SSR. And so this is why we go out. We go out to give people the opportunity to hear this message of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita so they can get out of illusion. But which means that we have to be interested in getting out of illusion. Because if they come here and they see that we treat ourselves like we are this body, hey, who do you think you are? I'm, you know, if you have that kind of attitude, that same attitude that's prevalent on the streets, if they see that we treat each other like bodies, you know, the men are glancing over the women like, hey, and vice versa, then they know, you know, what is this? You know, you're purveying this so-called spiritual knowledge, but you're acting just like everybody else. So we have to be very, very careful to keep our eye on the goal and really Pray to Krishna. And not to get out of illusion. Who wants to be an illusion? Illusion means to accept something for something that it's not. The classic example is the rope snake. If you're walking in the dark, especially in a place like India where they still have a lot of snakes, and you see something lying there, you think it's a snake, but it's a rope. So you go, ah, so that's an illusion. You look foolish. But the opposite is even more dangerous. If you think it's a rope, but it's actually a snake, you could die. So either way, we don't want to be an illusion. We want to see things as they are, clearly. And that's what the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita philosophy does for us. It lifts the curtain of illusion. As Queen Kunti says, Maya Javani Kachanam Agyad Okshidam Avayam. Now, like she says, Muda Adrisha Nato Natetarodata. She says to Krishna that you're covered by your deluding potency, the curtain of your deluding energy. And therefore, people don't recognize who you are. Yeah, it's just like when an actor, she said, is dressed for a part on a stage, people don't recognize who he really is. So it's like that. We don't recognize Krishna, God, because we don't even recognize ourselves. Like today is supposed to be Valentine's Day, everybody. It's been degraded into another commercial, you know, activity, but originally it had some religious connotation. There was celebrating some Saint Valentine. There are several Saint Valentines that are celebrated in different traditions. But nowadays it comes down to giving and receiving. I'm important, somebody should give me chocolates and this and that, and maybe I'll give one other person, you know, like that. Again, putting myself in the center when it actually has some connection to God through some saint. But Krishna is our best Valentine. You see? If you're seeking that one special person, who could be more special than Krishna? And the very name that Prabhupada gave me reminds me of that. The name Archita is the name of Krishna. It comes from the root archa, to worship, which means that he is the most worthy of worship. So he's the most worthy of our attention. He's the most worthy of our love. Krishna is the most worthy. But because we think that we're the center, I want to find one other special person that I can, that person belongs to me. You see? I want to be the dominant force. And in Kali Yuga, because it's the age of quarrel, everybody clashes. You want to be dominant, I want to be dominant, he wants it, and everybody just clashes. Nobody wants to take their natural position, which is a position of service. If I do something for you, oh, it's out of mercy and you should glorify me. If I even think of doing something for you, you should glorify me. This is Kali Yuga. We want to be glorified for even when we think of something. Prabhupada was not impressed by that. Many times the devotee would say, you know, Prabhupada, I have an idea. Da da da, and they would roll it out, and Prabhupada would say, look at them. So, you know, we're so trained and mistrained in the Western world, especially, that if I have an idea and I tell you my idea, you should go, wow, what a great idea. No, this is just another way of being puffed up. Okay, it's a good idea. Go implement it. That was Prabhupada's mood. Okay, you think you have a good idea? Implement it. After you implement it and it's successful, then we can talk. But we're so mistrained as being the center and wanting attention that if I have an idea, I want to be glorified for that idea, whether or not I've done anything, you see? So Krishna is numero uno. Krishna should be the center, especially on any special day. You keep Krishna in the center. You want a Valentine, you come and ask Krishna to be your Valentine. That's valid. Prabhupada said, you should always remember that you belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to you. And that's Krishna's position as God. He can belong to all of us. I can't belong to all of you in any meaningful way. It's not possible. I'm an insignificant living entity, but Krishna can. You see? Krishna can belong wholly and solely to all of us simultaneously. That's why he's special. He's worthy of our attention. So we should not sit around dreaming of some Valentine. Dream of Krishna. Serve Krishna. Worship Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. Put Krishna in the center. Ask Krishna to be your Valentine. It's valid. Krishna's waiting for that. Prabhupada said right here. He said, Krishna's waiting to speak to you. The deities are waiting to speak to you, but you're not interested. You see, we come before the deities, we bow down, maybe we put some money in the deity, maybe mumble a prayer or two. And then we go out to interact with some other persons that we find interesting. You see? We don't find this person interesting. We come, we say a few words, and then we go outside looking for someone interesting to interact. Who could be more interesting than Krishna? Who could be a better conversationalist than Krishna? Who could be wittier than Krishna? Krishna is the best of everything. If you read in the Madhyalila, there's a chapter, I think it's 20 or 19, Life's Ultimate Goal is called. And in there they have the verses that describe Krishna's 64 qualities. So the second verse, very interesting. Vidagda Chaturastaksha Kritaga Sudravrata Deishakala Supatragya. What was the last line go? Shastra Chakshus Vashishuchi Krishna. So Vidagda. Krishna is very cunning. We think we're so smart. I'm going to play a trick on this person. I'm going to run a game on that person. Krishna is the smartest. We see in this pastime with Bali Maharaj. He came as a dwarf brahmana, seemingly insignificant person. I'm only asking 3 steps of land. You're a king. You can give me that. I can give you more. No, no. Any brahmana who wouldn't be satisfied with 3 steps of land wouldn't be satisfied if he gave them the whole universe. So just give me 3 steps. Okay. Take 3 steps. 2 steps, everything's gone. Cunning. Nobody can be more cunning than Krishna. You see? So in this way, we can meditate on Krishna's qualities. We can come before Krishna, ask Krishna to be our Valentine. And more importantly, we can ask Krishna, my Lord, please bring me back to my pure consciousness. Because as long as we have even a trace of impurity, we can't be reliable servants. And that's our natural position. It's to be Krishna's reliable servant. As long as we have a trace of material desire, we can't be reliable. Just like that devotee who went touring with Lord Chaitanya in the south. Had God's company. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Going with him on pilgrimage. And he allowed himself to be attracted to some women and he left the Lord's company. So even if there's a trace of material desire, we can't serve reliably. So if we really want to be reliable servants, we should pray to Krishna, please remove all material contamination so I can come back to the point of being your reliable servant. So we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Sorry for the technical difficulties. We'll work them out next time so you can see the pictures on the board. So actually, the last slide I had was Dwarkadish. So just meditate on Dwarkadish. Let him be your Valentine. And we'll be happy.
Thank you for such a nice class, Prabhu. I was just wondering, where does the Shastra Chakshu verse come from? The one that you quoted?
Yeah, it's from the Madhyalila of the CC. Well, Shastra Chakshu as a concept is there in many places. Shastra Chakshu means seeing through the eyes of scriptures, which is what we're being trained to do. So long we've seen through the eyes of our own mental concoction. You see, we're seeing the world through that lens of our mental concoction. So to come to Krishna consciousness means to be trained thoroughly in the philosophy so you can see the world as it really is through the eyes of scripture. You see? Like, again, simple thing, like about owning everything. Everybody who's not seeing through the eyes of scripture thinking that, you know, I can gain this, I can gain that, I can make more and more and more and more. No, it actually all already belongs to Krishna. You can't gain anything. Even if you apparently gain something, it's a temporary situation, so don't get carried away by it. It's going to be taken away. This is a sober, Shastra-trained way of seeing things. That even if I get something, even if I get the whole world, it still already belongs to Krishna, and my duty is to use it in Krishna's service. Not to get contaminated, thinking that I'm the owner. So, Shastra-chakshu as a concept is there throughout the scripture, but that particular verse that I just quoted is from the chapter entitled Life's Ultimate Goal. It's in the Madhyalila, I can't remember if it's 19 or 20, but if you look at the chapter list, you'll see it. It says Life's Ultimate Goal. So it lists there Krishna's 64 qualities, and it also lists Radharani's, how many qualities does Radharani have? 25. So that's also listed there, those verses. So very nice section to read to remind ourselves. Okay, one more and then we can stop. Who was next? Prem Sankirtan.
Is it basically because of our material desire or subtle union, more difficult to perceive, then we cannot be more deeply Krishna conscious.
Yeah, but where do those material desires come from? It all starts with ahankar, false ego. Real ego means I am. We all know, I am, I exist. There's no question of that. We're not stones, we're not dull matter. We are sentient, conscious, living entities. We all know that. But the real identity is that I am Krishna's eternal servant. I exist, yes, but the real nature of my existence is I exist to serve, which you can see. We all have to serve someone, even if it's our own concocted idea. We're always in that service mood. We just don't understand it. We don't allow it to sink in. We don't allow ourselves to be conscious of the fact that we're always serving someone, some concept, something. If I don't have, like today, Valentine's Day, you know, many people don't have a significant other, but they have a dog. So they'll buy the dog a Valentine's bone. And they'll walk behind the dog and pick up the dog's poop. They're always serving. We're always serving. So we have to let that sink in. Now, Prabhupada said, if you're intelligent, ask, where is the best place or best person for me to serve so I get the best return on my investment of service? That's Krishna. You can serve your family members, you can serve your dog, you can serve your country. We see so many people go to serve the country. They went to Vietnam, they went to Afghanistan, Iraq. They got their limbs blown off. They come back and a lot of them wind up on the street. A lot of these guys you see on the street, they're veterans. They serve the country and they come back and they wind up on the street. So ultimately, come on, Hare Krishna. Ultimately, there is no, it's a thankless task to serve on the material platform. Like every parent, maybe some of you are parents, you know at some point that offspring that you've invested so much energy in, and every one of us should be thankful to the parents, because if you made it to adult life in fairly good shape, your parents had a lot to do with it. So we should be thankful. Even if they're not devotees, you should be in that thankful mood. You raised me nicely. But we know, those who are parents, I'm not, but those of you who are parents, you know, it's the day is going to come when that son or daughter is going to turn into an ingrate. They can't wait to get away from you. And they want to keep you at arm's length for the rest of life, probably. Up to the last moments where they stick you in a nursing home somewhere. So there's no gratitude in this world. There's no real happiness here. There's no real love in the material world. Because it's just lust. It's real love gets transformed into lust. Lust for money, lust for sex, lust for power, lust, lust, lust. That's all that exists here. But we allow ourselves to be fooled because we want to believe that there can be love here, especially on a day like this. Valentine's Day, for crying out loud. Why can't I have some romantic notions? It's a false platform. There is no happiness here. Allow it to sink in. Krishna says, God says, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But as Paladananda Swami likes to say, we all take on the challenge. We want to prove God that he's wrong. He says, we can't be happy here. I'm going to prove Krishna that he's wrong. I'm going to be happy here. Good luck. Good luck. So to answer your question again, it comes from false ego. So if you can flip that switch to real ego, to reminding yourself constantly, I'm a servant of Krishna, then the material contamination, the material fever will gradually die down and disappear. But it has to be a process. It won't happen automatically. If you don't take to the process, and the recommended process in this age is bhakti yoga, beginning with chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jai, Granth Sarachimir Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.